Welcome to the Sportscast, September 25th, 2018, part two of our Sportscast for the September 25th day of 2018. And we're going to go a little bit college football. Alabama rammed through the Aggies 45-23. Is that enough measuring stick to see if Alabama is the best team in college football or maybe in the world? And to discuss that, Justin Riley, welcome.
What's going on? Great to be back for week number three. So I guess I did a pretty good job because you're still getting me on the show. I appreciate it.
We're still booking you because you've been getting a lot of good results, good views. But also to discuss about Alabama, probably the most important team in college football. Number one, what were your thoughts about the game on Saturday?
Well, I thought we were off to a great start with that opening touchdown. Scored pretty fast with that amazing throw from Tua to Devonta Smith. Looked very reminiscent of that pass he threw to however, they looked like it was shaping up to be, because Texas A&M fought hard for a majority of the first half, and then as well as a little bit of the third quarter, even though the score may not have indicated it as much. Strong performance again from Tua Tagovailoa. Didn't play four quarters again, which I think he's the only quarterback now in NCAA who has not played a total of four quarters in each game, which is pretty amazing because he still was an impressive 22 of 30 for 307 yards, four passing touchdowns, and one rushing touchdown. Man, that's pretty amazing stuff. He's even caused the Heisman talk to perk up a little bit for him as well. Matter of fact, he was named the SEC Offensive Player of the Week for his performance against Texas A&M. And then Isaiah Buggs, who had a tremendous game, named SEC Defensive Player of the Week, three sacks, three and a half tackles for a loss. Just was amazing, constantly disrupting that backfield and making Kellen Mond pay for the trip to Tuscaloosa. Now, I will say also, too, Kellen Mond made it difficult for the Alabama defense, not quite as much through the air, but more so with his feet, broke off on several long runs. It was pretty much the same play, which was very frustrating for the Alabama fans because didn't seem to have an answer for that same dang play. I'm a little salty about that. So definitely something we've got to improve upon going forward. Xavier McKinney had an amazing day at his safety spot, seven tackles, one sack, one tackle for loss. This is a young kid that is growing up pretty fast on that defense. And so it was just something that is greatly needed as the season goes on and as the opponents become tougher. Very good game for freshman Patrick Surtain Jr. Those of you who follow pro football, especially the Miami Dolphins, can recognize that name. His dad, Patrick Surtain, played for the Dolphins for years and was very, very good. Anyway, it looks like his genes have passed on to his son because he had a very key interception late in the game that stopped Texas A&M's momentum. And allowed Alabama to run away with it halftime, going into halftime. But Texas A&M didn't really want to stop at that point. They kept on fighting to the very end. Even when the game was way out of reach, Jimbo Fisher thought that he would call timeouts to the very end because he felt like if they're there, he had to use them, and it was a great teaching moment for his players. Alabama had problems getting the running game established, which was very odd considering the talent in the backfield we have. The wide receivers / tight ends had to pick up the slack, so to speak. Pretty good big game from them combined. Had a pretty big game from Hell Hinches, having two touchdowns, which is a pretty big deal for him because he's primarily a blocking tight end, so you really don't see him very often on the receiving side of things. And then star Irv Smith Jr. had a really good game at his tight end spot. Looks like he's taken after his daddy as well. Those of you who followed the NFL in the 90s and early 2000s, his dad, Irv Smith, was tight end for the New Orleans Saints. Another tremendous game, again, from Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, Devontae Smith, again, who are starting to show not only the SEC but the rest of college football that they may be the best receiving core in the nation. Was pleased overall with the offense. I believe at times we kind of got lackluster and kind of stalled, really didn't take over, so to speak, in the game, but did just enough to really just to win and seal the deal. Of course, Tua Tagovailoa had an amazing game. If not for him, may have been a different outcome. Still a lot to be worked on the defense. I don't know if it was just getting outplayed in the secondary, or maybe they felt like they'd done enough to where they could slack off a bit, because they were giving up some plays in the passing game, as well as in Texas A&M's run a little bit. Those who don't follow Alabama often, or who watch the games very often, would look at the score and say, "Well, what do you have to complain about? You wiped them out." Well, there are some inconsistencies on the offense and defense that have definitely got to be worked out. I was sort of surprised to see the seemingly regression of the secondary, with the exception of Xavier McKinney and Patrick Surtain, from the Ole Miss game to this game, because you honestly can't sit there and tell me that the receiving core of Texas A&M, talented as they were better than the receiving core that this secondary faced against Ole Miss, with their top three receivers being seriously looked at to go in the first three rounds of the NFL draft. I give the performance overall a B+, and leaving room for improvement. I was pleased to see Tua doing his thing again. And I was pleased to see up front, defensively, Isaiah Bugs, Anthony Jennings, and company wreaking havoc yet again. Concerned about Quinton Williams. He got hurt. No update just yet to see how he's doing. And then we had one of our linebackers get hurt on the sidelines trying to make a play. Actually took out one of the event crew, slammed him into a wall. But he should be able to go against Louisiana Lafayette,
which should be a scrimmage. So after this Texas A&M game, do you feel more comfortable compared to the Mississippi game?
Well, I feel a little bit more comfortable, yes. I think Texas A&M was a much better opponent, so to speak. Like I said in the previous podcast, I felt like A&M was a more of a complete team than Ole Miss, definitely from a defensive standpoint, which if you watch the game, made things a little bit more difficult for the Alabama offense to, quote, have their way throughout the game, like they did against Ole Miss. So I thought this was a better opponent. This was definitely, I guess, a better measuring stick of where we're at. Definitely not the measuring stick, but it does it is a good sign. It is a good game.
The next three games for Alabama is Louisiana Lafayette, Arkansas, and Missouri. What do you think about the next three games?
Well, next three games are very important. You look at the schedule, you're thinking walk in the park. Alabama should get back to their their usual 50 plus points on the scoreboard. But this is also a great time when, to really, one, not get complacent. Don't just put your foot on the brakes a little bit. Don't dial it back. This is a chance to really continue to work on our craft, really begin to find tune that need to improve, especially in the secondary, and definitely need to continue to work on that ground game, especially after being very limited against Texas A&M. Louisiana Lafayette, or Ulala, as some people like to call them, does have a decent team. They're struggling a little bit this year. Their quarterback, Andre Nunez, has passed for 541 yards, four touchdowns, with one pick. Not a lot of production out of the run game from Trey Ragus, the sophomore. Only two touchdowns. His biggest games coming against Grambling and Coastal Carolina, which, you know, they're the official homecoming competition for a lot of folks. Have some big receivers. Keenan Barnes out of Madison, Mississippi, which is where I live, 6'3". And then they have Jamarcus Bradley at 6'1". Some big athletic receivers. And should test our secondary a little bit, but not to the point of where we should be in danger unless we just don't get off the bus. again, this is it's a good game to really fine tune some things, get some players healed up. We got some players that are banged up. Also to get some of these young guys experience, especially, a lot of these guys in the secondary and a lot of guys who are having to come in and play, due to depth concerns. It's an early game, so it's going to be a little hard for momentum and energy to be up. Nobody really likes to play at 11 o'clock, let alone against Louisiana Lafayette. But, hey, that's just the way it goes. And then we go back to SEC play the following week at 11 a.m. again against Arkansas, which, again, should be a fairly easy task for Alabama. But, again, you can't overlook any opponent, and you've got to go in just really hard and, again, just ready to assert yourself, continue to improve upon the things that got to be improved upon. We shouldn't see Tua Tagovailoa play four quarters again. We should see some more of Jalen Hurts, who seems to be progressing as the weeks go in his passing game. Didn't really air it out that much against Texas A&M. Didn't really have to. At that point, I think we're just playing keep away and trying to grind clock out. So we really didn't see anything to air. Nothing from Mac Jones just yet. If we do what we're supposed to do, we should see a good dose of Jalen and Mac Jones in the next two games.
But the key game that everyone's looking at ahead, and even Ryan Christa was talking about it, is the game in Baton Rouge on November 3rd against LSU. Will that be the true measuring stick?
Oh, without a doubt, unless LSU just tanks between now and then. Of course, the LSU does have a tough, go at it before they get to us. But all signs point to yes in this one. Anytime you go to Baton Rouge, I don't care who you are or where you're at, man, that's a tough, tough place to play. That Creole voodoo working against you, and more than likely it's going to be played at night. So it's going to be tough. That crowd is a very rowdy bunch, and that stadium can get to rocking. This is comparable to a playoff game. I got to be honest with you. You're going to see where both programs are at that point. Looking ahead, man, this is going to be the marquee matchup in the SEC right now. Looks like the Mississippi State game ahead is not quite as marquee after their surprising lopsided loss to Kentucky this past weekend. And then, of course, Auburn, nothing is going to bounce back after that loss to LSU. But LSU is the measuring stick, and we're going to see what we're made of. And unless we show something different, I expect Tagovailoa to play four quarters in that one.
You would think. You would think. So, Justin, here is the top 25 college football by the Associated Press. Number one is Alabama, then Georgia, Clemson, Ohio State, LSU, Oklahoma, Stanford, Notre Dame, and Penn State and Auburn. How do you see the top 10?
Oh, top 10, man, I got to make this argument for LSU. Let me preface this by saying I'm still not completely sold on LSU just yet. Still waiting to see them just completely take over, to see if they're truly that dominant team that we think they are, and also trying to see how their opponents that they beat, who are in the top 10, fare well on their schedule as well. But up until this point, I don't see how you can keep LSU below Ohio State. Ohio State, their schedule is a laugh. I mean, come on. I mean, they're playing teams like Tulane, Oregon State, I think West Texas Library College for the blind, Juilliard, and I think the Vidal Sassoon Academy of Hair. They haven't played anybody just yet. They are ranked high because of their name. And I'm sorry, I'm not being an SEC homer, but LSU, come on, they've beaten two top 10 opponents already, where Ohio State hadn't played anybody ranked yet, other than maybe TCU if they're still even ranked.
Right now, what I see it is it's quite interesting that Auburn only had one loss and they're number 10. That could complicate Alabama if they beat them at Brian Denny, but I don't see that happening.
I don't see how it complicates things. I mean, a lot of people will be hesitant to say that you're not a quality loss. They lost to a good LSU team. It's not like they lost to somebody that they shouldn't have. And there's a lot of time between now and then we play them in Bryant Denny Stadium for them to creep back up. If you look at their schedule, they could very easily get back into the top five, maybe even higher, because they still have Georgia on their schedule before they come play us. So that's going to be still a game to watch, unless Auburn flounders and proves less than what they are, which I find that really hard to believe given the talent that they have on that team. I think that LSU loss was and should be a wake-up call for them. I think they allowed LSU to hang around a lot longer than they should have. I've already been through that with you guys. But I still think, until proven otherwise, Auburn still has a very strong and talented team and should give Georgia fits in that game coming up, which is going to be a rivalry game before they play us. So, which is going to make that date in Bryant Denny Stadium a very, very important date for both squads. If you remember last year, Auburn came in with two losses and played against a heavily favored Alabama team, heavily injured and depleted Alabama team, but still favored nonetheless, and was able to pull the upset at home and propel themselves into the SEC championship game, as well as, I believe, number two in the playoff rankings going into the SEC championship game. So a lot can happen.
Could we see three SEC teams in the playoffs?
Man, you could very well see. It'd be kind of hard because Auburn and Georgia play each other, and then I could see two again.
I'm talking about can Alabama, Georgia, and LSU make it to the playoffs? That's what I mean.
That'd be hard because, well, if Alabama were to lose to LSU, they'd have to win the rest of their games again, and we have to win out and then, you know, hope the playoff
judges,
decision makers find favor in them again, which I think after last year, they probably would have a lot of hesitation voting them again without winning their conference.
So you're saying the conference
It'll
championship
happen again.
game has more
I could
weight
see
this
two
year?
SEC teams. I honestly think this time around going in, I think it will. I think it's going to be very hard for them to possibly put in an Alabama again if they don't win their conference because I just think they drew a lot of heat, a lot of pushback last year for making that decision, albeit the right decision because you saw the result. I just would think it would be very hard for Alabama to do that again, especially, you know, with LSU's schedule as it turns now proving to be tougher than Alabama's strength of schedule.
It's a heavier schedule. That is correct. LSU is playing – let me confirm this with you right now. They got like three straight hard games that I remember, and you know, including the November 3rd. They got Mississippi, Florida, Georgia, Mississippi State, then Alabama. That's four hard games.
Right. Ole Miss, some people may argue the fact that that's not a tough game, but if you don't follow the ACC, you don't know about the rivalry that those schools have between each other. It's a historic hatred rivalry. To be honest with you, I think they Ole Miss hates LSU worse than they hate Mississippi State, which is saying a lot. It should be a good contest just because, I mean, you're playing with a lot of emotion. It's a rivalry game. LSU should win that with probably – Florida still don't know what they're about, to be honest with you. Yeah, they had a big win against Tennessee, but I mean Tennessee's they're a team that's terrible.
Rebuilding stage.
Rebuilding stage. Jeremy Pruitt is having to do a lot, and I'm talking about a lot. And Vols fans out there, trust me, your time's coming. But Coach Pruitt is going to have to do a lot first. So that's not really a measuring stick for Florida. We still don't know what their identity is. We just don't know how good they are. I mean, we'll know when they play LSU. I still don't feel like they have the offensive firepower to hang with Greedy Williams and his crew of players, man. I don't know if they can hang with them. But I think Mississippi State probably got a reality check. Kentucky, I think that they went that game overlooking Kentucky and were looking ahead to their game against Florida just because it's going to be an emotional game because they're going to be, you know, playing against Dan Mullen. Not to take anything away from Kentucky, I think Kentucky is a good team. I think that they got one of the best running backs in the SEC, perhaps, and perhaps one of the best running backs in the nation. But let's just be honest, Mississippi State overlooked Kentucky. That should get them back in order. If that doesn't, I don't know what does. And usually when Mississippi State and LSU play, it's a physical game, and it's always a hard-fought game. That's going to be tough for LSU. And, you know, LSU's still got Georgia. So, yeah, they got tough sledding, man. If they can get through that gauntlet going into Alabama, I mean – they're one of the top teams in the country right now.
They will have to be slipping up to four or even higher. But if they could beat all that.
Yeah, I don't.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying I'd be hard pressed to find a justifiable reason to keeping them below Ohio State at that point. Because even at that point, Ohio State hasn't played anybody.
Exactly. Well, we'll see what happens. College football is still unraveling. We're seeing this story, you know, being told. Interesting schedules, interesting team. It feels like the SEC is getting heavier. It's getting stronger. And only teams like Clemson and Ohio State are somehow trying to stay in that top four. But obviously, as Justin said, the conference championship game might have more weight this year. So – making it to that, you know, you're become a little bit safer to make into the Final Four of the college football season. Justin, are you ready for some predictions?
Now I'm ready for anything. What you got?
West Virginia at Texas Tech.
Man, it's going to be whoever gets to 100 points first. neither team's really boasts a strong defense, but then again, it is the Big 12 or the Arena Football League, as I call it, boasting two high-powered offenses. However, Will Greer right now is the man, and that guy is absolutely on fire. Man, you can only imagine what Florida would be like right now if he wouldn't have goofed up and got kicked out of there. I think West Virginia is going to win. It's going to be a high-scoring affair. I think you're probably going to see something like maybe 50-43.
Stanford at Notre Dame.
Man, that's going to be one to watch. Both teams are pretty physical. Both teams are looking good. Looks like Notre Dame has found life now with taking out I forgot the quarterback's name, but Book is in there now, and he is looking pretty good. They woke up against Wake Forest and were able to actually look like a decent team that people were talking about coming into the season again.
Brandon Wimbush.
So, Brandon Wimbush. I'm sorry about that. No disrespect to him, but under his leadership, the quarterback position, the offense was just anemic. Just hard to watch. I mean, my gosh, they could barely move the ball against Ball State. Come on. But doesn't seem to be the case now with a new quarterback at the helm. Now, will Notre Dame be able to contain Bryce Love? Don't know if they quite have the defense to do that. But then again, who does? I think, and then again, Stanford also can score some points. I like Notre Dame. You know, I like Rudy. I like the whole mystique around them. I don't know if they're quite strong enough to beat Stanford. I say Stanford in a close one.
Penn State at Ohio State.
Nah, I don't think Penn State's quite strong enough this season to beat Ohio State. Ohio State seems to be on a roll. Yeah, I think Ohio State's going to win this one, probably 28-17.
BYU at Washington.
Well, is it going to be on early enough for us to watch it? That's like it's one of those West Coast games.
It probably won't. It's probably a 10 p.m. game.
Yeah, we might have to DVR that one and watch that when we're having our coffee the next morning before church. I think that Washington is a more talented team. They still have one of the better quarterbacks in the nation. Washington still looks to be the heavy favorite to win the Pac-12. I think BYU has improved, but I think this Washington team is better than they are. BYU's not quite ready yet. So I say Washington wins 31-17.
Oregon at California.
This is Oregon's bounce-back game. And I believe that the Oregon's going to come out on fire, especially offensively. And I don't think California's going to have an answer for that. I think they win big, 42-14.
Florida Gators at Mississippi State.
Oh, man. I think Bulldogs win. And I think they play inspired. And I think that they win a tough one. I like for them to go in there and win big. Don't really see it happening. I say Bulldogs win 35-28.
Alabama at Louisiana Lafayette.
Well, unless Bobby Boucher has an extra year of eligibility. Even that, I believe Alabama should have this game won by the second quarter, and probably I don't think they've reached 50 points again. I said they win 41-7.
Let's go NFL. Buffalo Bills at the Green Bay Packers.
Man, I think Green Bay has the upper hand right now. I don't buy Buffalo's win this previous week, even though it was an incredible acrobatic performance by Josh Allen. I see Green Bay wins. I think they play a little frustrated, a little mad right now. And be careful that Clay Matthews doesn't eat anybody.
By the way, do you agree with the Bills starting Josh Allen?
Well, yeah. I mean, they have nothing else there. So, I mean, what else are you supposed to do? They got rid of A.J. McCarron, which is still a move that I don't understand right now, because they brought him in to take the helm and be the face of the franchise, only to say, yeah, we're good, and send him to the Raiders. I guess it's punishment. I don't know. I think he basically is the lesser of all evils. So you have to.
And how about Josh Rosen starting for the Cardinals?
I think that might be a rush decision, man. I don't think you just bail out on you know, they had I don't think you bail right
Bradford.
Yeah, I don't think it's Sam Bradford. I don't know what's wrong with me today. I don't think you bail on Sam Bradford yet. I don't believe you push the panic button just yet. Come on, it's only a few games into the season here. Now, if it's wearing, you know, week 5 or 6, and all of a sudden, you know, nothing's happening, and there's got to be a spark, yeah, bring him in. But my gosh, why'd y'all do that to him last week? You brought him in to be sacrificed by Khalil Mack and his band of of barbarians.
Hey, you know,
you
got to bleed and cry a little bit to be successful. We'll see what happens. Tampa Bay, Fitzmagic. At Chicago.
Woo! I tell you what, if Fitzmagic's able to pull out what he's been doing against the Chicago Bears, and he's my MVP, because that defense for Chicago is absolutely nasty. I don't want to go with the hot flash in the pan team, Tampa Bay. I really want to go with that tough, gritty Chicago Bears team with that nasty defense. Is kind of similar to the 85 squad. I gotta go with Bears, man. I got to.
And would you let him start beyond James Winston's availability? Would you start him over James over Winston?
Absolutely. I mean, even if he had two broke legs and a hand and a cast, I mean, how do you take him out? You really can't. And I mean, he is leading that team, and that team is wanting to play for him. They're behind him, man, from top to bottom. That receiving core is looking better than it ever has. Not to mention, you know, O.J. Howard is finally getting the ball as well. I mean, he's a freak, and James Winston wasn't getting in the ball at all last year. I just don't think that Jameis Winston is the guy. I still don't think that he's worthy of the number. Him, and he hasn't showed me anything in his brief time he has spent in the NFL to say that he needs to take over Fitzmagic's spot. I don't care if Fitzmagic has a couple games where he struggles. That's just life. I still don't think you pull him out. So, no, sit the boy down.
The undefeated Dolphins at the New England Patriots.
Man, what is going on with the Patriots, dude? you know, some may argue the Patriots are struggling right now because they have some key players out to injury, but which is huge. They are some good players, and it looks like Dante Hightower is having to be the entire defense for them. But if you look at the body language, man, the players just aren't connecting. You know, they're not in sync here. You got a frustrated Tom Brady. More importantly, man, you still don't have any weapons for the guy. The number one draft pick at tailback, Sonny Michel, is getting murdered because he doesn't have any help either to take pressure off of him. Getting the running game established. I still don't believe Josh Gordon's the answer at wide receiver either. But then again, it is the Patriots. You know, they can complete. If anybody can pull a complete turnaround, it's them. It's Belichick, and it's his magic. However, man, I like the Dolphins right now. They're looking really good. Kenyon Drake's on fire. Those receivers are on fire. Defense looking good. You got my boy from Alabama over there, DB, looking really good. I say Miami wins and hands New England another loss.
And New England will be in deep trouble then. Detroit at the Cowboys.
Oh, God. The Cowboys, man.
It's an ugly game.
It's going to be an ugly game, man. But the thing is, man, I like Detroit because they're playing different now. They're playing with confidence. They're playing with determination, man. That backfield is starting to look really good with Kerryon Johnson and LeGarrette Blount. And their receivers, my gosh, they just were able to do what they wanted to against New England's secondary. Golden Tate is still showing that he's one of the better receivers in the league right now. So I got to go with Detroit again in this one.
The Ravens at the Steelers.
Ravens.
The Chiefs at the Broncos.
Ravens all day long. Yeah, man. You mean the Mahomes show?
Yes. Juggernaut.
Yes. To be honest with you, man, unless Mahomes just has a fluke off game, I don't see Denver having the firepower on offense to keep up with Kansas City's offense. I just don't see it. I think that in the first half, Kansas City will probably have a tough time against that defense, but that defense is going to get worn out because their offense won't be able to keep up.
Do you remember Mahomes in college?
Kansas City wins. Yeah, here and there, but I didn't really watch a whole lot of the Pac-12. I mean, and he played for Texas Tech, and I mean, he put up some monster numbers there. The times I watched him, you know, he was good, but I didn't get to see him as much as I would need to.
And another impressive game by an Alabama player this past weekend in the NFL, Calvin Ridley.
Man, that boy went off. I mean, he just announced to the NFL that he's here and that Julio Jones isn't the only wide receiver in Atlanta.
There you go. Calvin Ridley had a great game in Atlanta.
Monster game from him.
Yeah, Calvin Ridley, the Falcons were on fire against the Saints, and they pulled off the win, I believe.
Unfortunately, they won. No, they actually lost in overtime.
It was a firepowering game.
Drew Brees won the game with his legs, not his arm.
Wow. He still has it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And how was your competition this past weekend?
Man, glad you asked. Went into it, and my only goal was to successfully get all of my attempts, which I did by the grace of God. Hit all three attempts on bench press. Hit all three attempts on my deadlift. By the grace of God, I actually won both my divisions I competed in. I competed in the 198-pound class as well as the submasters class. That's folks who are just below 40 years old in the push-pull divisions. Basically, what that means is I did deadlift and bench press only, able to come away with first place in both classes, man. Pretty exciting and humbling stuff. Very grateful by the grace of God that I was able to do that. Very, very thankful also to with my training and preparation, and in the support of my fan base that decided to attend. Great event. John Micah, who runs the United States Powerlifting Association here in Mississippi, put the event on, and very, very nicely run. He and his crew were outstanding, very encouraging, very helpful, very accommodating, did everything to make sure that everybody was taken care of. Truly great event. Looking forward to doing many more, not only here, but elsewhere in the future.
As you can see, Justin Riley is a weight competitor. He knows how to lift those weights professionally. And if you need any questions about that or sports, how can people reach you, Justin?
All right. You can email me as far as it, asking questions about training, meal planning, workout routines, supplement advice, so on and so forth at 12-1 Training. That's the number 12, one spelled out, training at gmail.com. Then you can follow me on Facebook, /12-1Training. You can see me on Twitter as well as Instagram, same handle, at 12-1Training. During the week, I use Twitter to talk about everything that is fitness and everything that is training. On Saturdays, you can follow me with my live feed during the Alabama games. You probably won't see me this Saturday during the Louisiana Lafayette game. Unfortunately, I will be moving that day, but we're listening to Eli Gold on my Alabama football radio app provided by none other than Santiago Leon.
Amen to that.
You can also follow me. Yeah, absolutely. One of the best things I ever had, especially being in Mississippi. I get to hear Eli Gold all the way in Mississippi, and that's tremendous. But, yeah, on Instagram, I post a lot of pictures, a lot of videos, a lot of things that are inspirational about myself, about current or former clients of mine that have achieved a monumental success. So definitely follow me. Definitely comment. Please contact me as much as possible. We'd love to help you in any way I can.
And follow us also, the Sportscast. You could please hit subscribe on YouTube, on Periscope, and on iTunes. Leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. Follow me on Twitter, S-L-E-O-N, Sleon. And random news of the day, Dunkin' Donuts will be called Dunkin'.
What's wrong with Dunkin' Donuts? Why they gotta be Dunkin' now?
I don't know. They're gonna remove it. I guess they want to compete against Starbucks because people think Dunkin' Donuts is just a donut shop, but it isn't. It also does coffee.
Man, I swear, don't change what got you there. Everybody, that is a nationally known brand, brother. You don't have to take away the donuts part to let people know you serve coffee.
Exactly. Well, anyways, a couple of games this weekend. A lot of good games going to happen this weekend, not in the SEC, not too many good games going on. I mean, a few mediocre ones, but a lot of them, the Stanford-Notre Dame game, definitely a game to watch. And, of course, that's probably the highest growth game. Obviously, Ohio State, Penn State also be a good game. So we'll see what happens. Justin, thanks for coming onto the Sportscast.
Man, glad to be back here again for another week. Look forward to getting the recap next week of the Louisiana Lafayette game. Hope we, come away not only with a victory, but, keeping everybody healthy and showing some improvements. Look forward to talking about that and then previewing the upcoming game against Arkansas in Fayetteville.
It should be a great one. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. No problem, man.